Dr. Stahl began work in 1984 on the AIDS Behavioral Research Project, one of the first longitudinal studies of AIDS risk-taking behaviors in the world. And since that time, he's published over 150 peer-reviewed papers regarding LGBT health issues and is now working on a set of projects on gay men's health. So, and now it's Ron Stahl.
Hi. What this session is going to do today is talk about a whole bunch of different approaches to training the next generation of LGBT health researchers. And there's a bunch of different solutions are being presented today. But what this talk is going to do is focus on how we address that question at Pitt and hope that some of our responses to that question are useful. None of us have any disclosures. In terms of the main goals of the talk, what I'm going to be talking about is describing the training program in LGBT health at the University of Pittsburgh, and then describe how the training program intersects with the new Center for LGBT Health Research that we founded this year, and so with the idea of showing how it supplements the training program in LGBT health, and then to describe our future goals for the program. What we're seeing today is the responses by a set of different universities that are trying to create training programs in LGBT health. So why are we doing all this work? The reason is that we have multiple data sets. Everything points to great health disparities that are occurring in LGBT populations. That these data sets now go back for at least 30 years, and that sometimes the health disparities that we're describing are really profound and really dangerous for our communities. It turns out that any attempts to silo these things, like we thought for a long time that if we dealt with HIV among gay men, that we'd be done. What we have now seen in multiple data sets is that's just the start of the story. That there are multiple different epidemics that we have to address, and that this is going to take the work of many decades, generations. And what we need to do now is to create stable programs that can pass off expertise and lessons learned and the oral traditions that are necessary to passing off expertise to the next generation so that we can start to create programs that will address the health disparities that exist in our community. And so that is what we've tried to do at the University of Pittsburgh. One thing I think that's important to understand at Pitt is the historical context. So that there's been a long history of doing research with sexual minority populations at the University of Pittsburgh, most notably work with the multi-center AIDS cohort study, so that there's one of the sites for the MAX is at Pitt. As spin-off of that very large study in some way, and using some of the resources that HIV money provided, Dr. Tony Silvestri and Drs. Tony Silvestri and Drs. Nina Markovic founded in the late 1990s the Center for Health and Sexual Orientation. And this became a way by which different pieces of the campus could come together and talk about LGBT health, not only HIV and sexually transmitted diseases, but the broader reach of what a real LGBT health agenda should be. And what that means is from the work and the leadership that Tony and Nina provided, that they were able to recruit over a long period of time a large group of faculty who were already doing work in LGBT health when we started the certificate program. So I won't run you through all the names of the faculty or insult you by reading this list. But what I do want to point out is that we've got a lot of different disciplines, folks who come from a lot of different disciplines who are actually doing work in LGBT health, and on a lot of really substantive focus areas, so that it has the beginnings of being able to really cover the waterfront in terms of what you would want for a program and training program on the faculty side on LGBT health research. So now the certificate program. The University of Pittsburgh has a lot of different certificates, and many departments set these up as almost like statements of these are strengths of the department. We can really mentor people in this particular approach to doing public health, this particular skill set. And so there's kind of a set format that was already in place when Tony and Nina and I put together the application to create the certificate in LGBT health. So the certificate can be done as either part of an MPH degree or as one of the doctoral degrees, a DRPH or a PhD. The set thing is 15 hours of classwork, semester hours, and then three required classes, and then that are the backbone of the program. There's currently about 20 students in the program. So I'll just walk you through, briefly, what the overview class, what the three central classes do. The first one is an overview class that is kind of really a survey class in LGBT health research. So it talks about the surprisingly long history. I mean, there's stuff going back well over a century studying LGBT populations and LGBT health, believe it or not. And so the long history of work, and then really focusing on the definitional issues that we all struggle with, that you've seen every single presentation at this conference has focused on some of these definitional issues, the sampling issues, the cultural competence issues, the way we make measures work for our populations, all of that stuff. People get to see how people have struggled with that as they focus on a whole set of different reviews of different health disparities in LGBT populations. They understand the evidence for and theoretical explanations for health disparities in our communities. And then the main product the students produce at the end of that first overview class is to come up with a critical lit review of a health disparity in a gay community, in an LGBT community. So for the sake of, I'll just smoking among lesbian women. So a student would produce a lit review on smoking among lesbian women and really understand what the literature says and critique what that literature would say. The next class is a research methods class. And what we do in that class is we show students how to take the critique that they just did on that literature and do a critical analysis of the literature and come up with the best ways that we can move the field forward. So that the first skill set is how can you do a lit review and then identify the holes in the literature. What isn't there? What's outside the box? And what are the smartest things that we can do to move the field forward? And then from that analysis, you can generate a set of research questions that you'd want to go towards, and then from that, a set of specific aims. And once we have the specific aims, the rest of the class, and what the term paper that they produce at the end of the year, is to write the first draft of an NIH-R01 proposal. So the class does two things. It shows people how to create innovative research ideas. Well, three things. The next thing is to get a lot of experience in writing grant proposals, which is a very useful skill set I've discovered over the years. And the third thing is to basically struggle with all of the research issues that come from taking a set of specific aims and thinking about how you would create that study and put it into the field. So that's what the second class does. The third class focuses on intervention design. So now that we know all this stuff, what are we going to do about it? And how are we going to lower rates of smoking among women and lesbian communities? We ask the students to do is to come up with a reasonable intervention that would possibly work, along with an analysis plan to evaluate that intervention to lower rates of smoking among lesbian women, so that we're getting into practice now and working within communities. So those are the three kind of backbone classes of the program. There are other things that students typically do. People typically work with one of the community-based organizations in town. Again, long history of that in the city of Pittsburgh, to either do practicums. There are electives that students can take, often things that they would do for the degree programs anyway, so they can kind of double dip that way to get up to the 15 hours, and then a thesis and an essay for the MPH, or a dissertation that all the doctoral students do, also focusing on LGBT health research. So that's the certificate program. This year, we also created a center of the faculty at Pittsburgh, created a center for LGBT health research. And the goal of this was to support enhanced research and teaching at the Graduate School of Public Health. We sponsor a bunch of activities every year, and the idea is that they're there for the students to participate in. So the students are partners in a lot of these activities. So we do a summer institute, a Wednesday morning lab, very personalized postdoctoral and doctoral support, and monthly center meetings that are continuing the tradition started by Dr. Sylvester and Dr. Nina Markovich. We have a web page. Here it is. Folks can check it out if you're interested, stuff that's going on. The Summer Institute is something that we do every year, and we take a long weekend. And we invite a small but select crowd To have very high-level discussions about a pressing issue, an emerging issue in LGBT health research. The idea is to have a lot of personal interconnection, a lot of time with each other. We have dinner parties for people where the students and the faculty can meet. We take our time with this stuff. It's kind of the exact opposite of the APHA meetings. And I think a lot more fun. But the idea here is to get a small but select crowd to have high-level discussions about an emerging topic. And the structure of the meeting is the first day the bigwigs have a debate about what do we know about some blank topic. The next day we talk about where should the field go, and the day after that we talk about where should the field go from there. So what are we going to do about it? These are some of the topics that we've held over the years. Notice that we're moving more into topics and away from populations, so cross-cutting issues across all of our populations. And some of these have actually ended up yielding published lit reviews on what the Institute came up with that summer. This is a picture of the folks at the last day, of some folks that already run off to the airports and so on, but we probably, last year, there were probably about 35 people that participated in the Institute. This is the last day, last hour photograph. The Wednesday morning lab I chair, and it's for doctoral students and postdocs, some junior faculty, and what we do in that lab is we start with, what's your dream job? Tell me what your dream job is. And then we ask people to think about how they're going to create that job, and then what are the skill sets that they need to master to go create that job for themselves. So is it grant writing? Is it publishing? Is it learning how to teach well? All of those kinds of things. And so we get people to list the skill sets they need to have, and then we focus on, okay, so what can you do this year to punch those tickets? And there's usually... people bring in data analyses that they're doing, papers that they're writing, grant proposals, gleam in the eye. It's just a round table to basically make sure that our work is as good as it can be. It's been astonishingly successful. So we've had a whole slew of successful R01 applications, K awards, an F, a T32 training program, and there's a lot more applications in the queue. But I think where we've really done a great job has been on publishing. So I went back and looked at the things that the folks in the center have done in the past 4 years, and we're publishing at the rate of basically one new peer-reviewed paper a month. And almost all of those have students as co-authors. And it's because of the hard work that the students are putting into it, that and the papers, it keeps everything fresh. So it's a bit of a machine and a fun machine. It's the highlight of my week to be in that room. We were recently awarded a T32 training program for HIV research to support doctoral work with HIV research with gay men and HIV. And the idea is that within the training program we can actually have some slots where students are funded to focus on HIV research in gay men. We were also recently funded this year for the first time, and I'm really excited about this, to do international work. You know, one of the things that's going to happen, it's going to be important in all of the students' lives in this room, is that we're going to face up to the fact that gay communities are emerging all over the globe, and that they are facing up to many of the same health disparities that gay communities in the industrialized countries have, but there's nothing there to protect them. And the violence victimization and stigma and HIV and all the rest of that stuff that we've dealt with over the years with the communities in the industrialized countries, it's there with a vengeance in many of the developing world countries. And it's really incumbent upon us to do tech transfer to help these communities respond in a way, and to do it in a way that leaves expertise in those countries. So what AMFAR is doing is they're funding us to bring scholars from developing world countries to actually write grant proposals as part of the research methods class. At the end of the term, we'll work with them to submit the applications to AMFAR, and AMFAR has agreed to review the applications, and if we're lucky, we'll fund them. They can take that money back to their home countries and create data that will be the start of a research response in those communities. So we have scholars coming from Lebanon, South Africa, Vietnam, and the People's Republic of China. And that'll start in January, so I can't wait. Our plans for the future, we believe that more is more. So we want more faculty. And we're looking to, you know, try to build more faculty in the program. We think there's room for more students. So we've got about 20 students now. We can do some more. As is the case with the Drexel, I think it'll be a theme in all of our talks. We need to figure out a way to find more scholarships for students. Graduate education is expensive, and it would be lovely to be able to find a way to help fund that training. Training programs I've found are a lot like owning an old house. You know, the minute you get the roof done, the porch falls off. And so it's a constant case of reviewing and making sure that all what we're doing is high quality. And I think we always need to focus on better diversity, not only in terms of the faculty and students that are here demographically, but our research topics and moving things across not only the populations we're studying, but, you know, it would be great to do more with trans health, with women's health issues. Just the topics are endless. So here's, I think, are some of our successful our lessons learned. I think our experience has been that successful training programs take time and collaboration. You need both. And you need to have people that play well with each other. And that's been a really important tone of what's going on at Pitt, and I think it's been a really important thing about the success of growing the program. The next thing, and I should also say that we've had amazing support from the Graduate School of Public Health, from Dean Burke, and it's been a wonderful thing to watch. We don't always see that with administrators, and this has been a case where it's been wonderful. Another lesson I think we've learned is there's a market out there for people who want to do LGBT health research. And so most schools of public health have a cluster of students who want to do this, but there's maybe one faculty member. And so the students end up having to train themselves. And it's hard for the students to create a space where they can help each other do good work and help each other, you know, give to each other so that everybody wins. And so I think we could have more programs nationally. It would be good for all the training programs to have better competition, and the field desperately needs, you know, the next generation to be well trained. I think the other thing we can absolutely say is that students who work in LGBT health research are fabulous. And I mean, it's really amazing. I'm constantly amazed at how creative and smart and hardworking the students are, and it's really been wonderful to partner with them. And our field needs their energy and vision to address the many health disparities that exist in LGBT populations. So thank you very much.